So last time we were in chapter 9, and I think we stopped around verse 20, I'm not sure. But we went through, and it was the first year of Darius, and in verse 2 it says, the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So this kind of tells us, well, it doesn't kind of tell us, it tells us that he was reading, he was familiar with and knew the books or the scrolls of Jeremiah, and what it said about the 70 years desolations, or, you know, the ruining of Jerusalem and the temple. So then he begins to pray to God, and you know, he confesses his sin. In verse 20 it says, and whiles I was praying, I like that, and whiles I was praying, and confessing my sin, the sin of the of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So I think it's interesting that here we have Daniel confessing his sin, and his life was pretty amazing, and his faithfulness is noted, and his believing, his faithfulness. And then he asks and prays for the sins of Israel, not just Judah, which he was of the tribe of Judah, but of all Israel. And he's concerned about Israel, the country, and the city of Jerusalem and the temple. So in verse 21, Gabriel shows up. And Gabriel, of course, is mentioned only four times in the word, twice with Daniel, once with Zacharias announcing the coming of John the Baptist, and once when he goes to Mary. So again, I think it's significant that God would send Gabriel to Daniel, not once, but twice. And it was at the time of the evening oblation, or the evening sacrifice or offering. So that's a pretty amazing thing to have happen. And it says, verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. Did I miss 22? Oh, verse 22, sorry. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. So the purpose of Gabriel's visit was to give Daniel skill, and the word skill could mean insight. Bullinger says, to teach understanding, to make wise. So that's why Gabriel came to Daniel. And then it says in verse 23, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment, oops, I'm wrong, I missed it again. At the beginning of thy supplications, I keep looking below where I should be. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So, at the very beginning of his prayer, of his supplications, the NIV says, as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. You know, he didn't hardly even have to start praying, and God already was giving him the answer. And then he says, you are greatly beloved. So understand the matter and consider the vision. Now we get into what it is that he's going to tell him. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy." So this is the first thing he tells them. He says 70 weeks. And the word weeks is an interesting word. It is the word weeks, but it also can be translated seven. So it could be 77s. And I guess that's why they translate it weeks. We're going to get into it a little bit more in a minute. But in this 70 weeks or 77s, we're going to accomplish the following. And he lays out this list of things: to finish the transgression, or put an end to the transgression, to make an end of sins, or to seal up the sins, to make reconciliation or atonement for iniquity or wickedness, to seal up or make an end by fulfilling the vision and the prophecy, and then to anoint the most holy. And that would be referring to the Holy of Holies, the temple and the Holy of Holies, because it had been defiled by unbelievers. It had been destroyed. And so it would have to be cleansed. It would have to be anointed. In chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "And he said unto me, in 2,300 days, then shalt the sanctuary be cleansed." Okay, so here again, we have a time frame. I think we talked about it, but you have to consider what kind of years and months they're thinking of, which we're not 100% sure. So now, one thing we have to remember when we're reading Daniel. Daniel is in the Old Testament. He is a Judean, and he is an administrator in a Gentile land. He's in exile, so to speak. He's been taken captive, and he serves an unbelieving and idolatrous nation. His concern is with Israel, the people, not just Judah and Benjamin or the Levites, but all the children of Israel, because they had all been dispersed by this time, and the city Jerusalem, the holy city, and the holy mount where the temple was. So that is Daniel's concern. Has nothing to do with the Christian church. So we're going to see prophecies here. And again, it's kind of like the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation is written to and for and about Israel for the most part. And it doesn't, you know, the times of tribulation and all the stuff it talks about have to do with people other than the church, the born-again believers, the ones that God has anointed with Holy Spirit. We're gathered together. So here, this has to do with Israel. Verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince," and the word "unto" is until the Messiah, the Prince, "shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks, or 77s, and 60, which would be 60, and 2. And again, weeks or sevens. "The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." And the wall is the word for trench or moat. And I don't really know why it uses that, but they put in wall because it was a walled city, but they must have done something. So then it says in verse 26, "And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined or are marked out. So here we have a bunch of numbers and prophecies of things that are going to happen. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing, and I don't know, I can't explain it exactly, but most of the scholars, like Bollinger and others, believe that the weeks or the 77s mean years. So if you go in verse 24, it says 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city. That would be 490 years. 70 times 7, right? But then down below we have 7 weeks or 7 sevens, which would be 49, and then 62 plus 7, that is 434. So I can't reconcile it. I don't really understand how the numbers all fit perfectly. And I don't know that these guys really do, because it's in the future. So if it's in the future, we really can't say. There was some discussion years ago that weeks really would mean weeks, and it had to do with the acceptable year of the Lord and how it would fit in. But that's hard to fit too. It doesn't exactly make sense. So I guess we just have to wait till it happens. Okay. I don't know what else to tell you. I hope I don't disappoint anybody, but that's all I can tell you. But the city, you know, there was a command, and there was a command by different kings of the kingdom. First, there was Darius, and then there was Cyrus. And Cyrus, again, directing the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and then later on, the temple. And they did it. And if you go back and read Nehemiah, when they're rebuilding the walls, there was trouble. There were people that didn't want them to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and didn't want them to rebuild the temple. But Cyrus gave them permission, gave them money, gave them materials, and he was the king. So then it says that a people will come in verse 26. Well, and then it says it'll go forth the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince. And Jesus Christ is referred to as a prince here. And his first coming, he never took the throne, right? He never actually sat on the throne of Israel. He was referred to by some people as the king of Israel, not by himself, but by others, Pilate and some others, you know, and did it not in a very kind way. But when he comes back and he gathers the church and comes back with the church, then he will be seated on the throne of David. And then we will have his kingdom. And then he will be the Messiah, the king, and the priest king, right? And that will fulfill the prophecy of that. So when he comes back, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then after verse 26, again, after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Again, I don't really understand the 60 or the 62 weeks and how that fits with the numbers. But Jesus Christ was cut off, and it wasn't for himself. It was for mankind. It was for all man. He was sacrificed to pay the price for sin nature and for all of man's sins. Whoa. It doesn't stay in my belt. Did it bang in your ear? Okay. So the NIV reads in 26, the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. And a desolation is a wasteland. It will be turned into a wasteland. If you remember when Israel went into the promised land, it was lush, it was rich, it was productive, there was water, there was everything. And now today, it's kind of a desert. They have irrigated and they've worked to try to restore it, but that's man's doing, not God's doing. So that's where we're going. So verses 24 through 26, I don't know what else to tell you about it. It's 77s and 77s and 77s. And that's what it is. So, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And that refers to the people that came in and destroyed Israel. Now, many commentators, again, say this refers to what happens after the gathering and later on in the Revelation period. I don't know that because, again, it hasn't happened. But he shall come and confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And again, you know, that Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple was destroyed in the first century AD. Later on in the Revelation period, we know it's going to be rebuilt, and then the Antichrist and the beast will come in and take it over, and he will sit in the Holy of Holies and tell everybody that he's God. So we know that. So that would be an abomination also. But at this point, again, we don't know who the he is, and that he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. We don't know, again, if that's a week or a year. And then in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation or the end or the fulfilling. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So, let's see. The NIV says in verse 27, and on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. That's what that says. So we don't know what the explanation is. I wish I could give you more clarity on the prophecy of the 70 years. We know that there was a 70 years captivity, right? And we know that Israel went back, and how long that took for all the things to happen, for Ezra to travel down, and then a couple of years later for Nehemiah to travel down and for them to rebuild. It didn't take them that long to rebuild the city. But it certainly took them a while to get everything in order again. But Gabriel was sent. It must be an important thing for Daniel to know, because God sent Gabriel to explain it to him and give him understanding. So we knew, or he knew, that the city would be rebuilt. So that's what I can tell you. This is what we do know. The mystery, the age of the church, was unknown to Daniel, right? Now, times after this whole period from the end of, you know, when the captivity started on till the gathering together is called the times of the Gentiles. The church is the age of grace, but this is the time of the Gentiles. Israel is no longer the center of the conversation. But we know that we as Christians are saved from the wrath to come. So in chapter 9, Jesus Christ is the Messiah Prince. In Revelation, he is the King Priest who rules. And when he comes back, he will be overall in glory, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So now we go to chapter 10, and it says, in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So in chapter 9, it was the first year of Darius, and this is the third year of Cyrus. And there are several Cyruses, and I'm not sure which one this is. So where it says, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In the Septuagint, it says, and great power and understanding in the vision, and so on, was given to Daniel. In the New Revised Standard, it says, the word was true, and it concerned a great conflict. And he understood the word, having received understanding in a vision. And the NIV says, its vision or its message was true, and it concerned a great war. And the understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So that's what it says. And so when it says the thing was true and the time appointed was long, it has to do with great conflict or a great war. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So this vision and his understanding caused him great sadness, pain. He said in verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he spent three whole weeks basically fasting. He didn't drink any wine, didn't eat any flesh or any you know, pleasant food. And he didn't anoint himself. It means he didn't, you know, take care of his body, put lotion on or oil or whatever they did back then. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. So the 24th day, or the 24th day of the first month, which would have been Nisan, the month of Nisan, that was the first month of their year. And he was by the river Hiddekel, which is the river Tigris. It's the same as the Tigris River. Tigris, and if you remember back to your world history maybe, they talk about the Fertile Crescent, which was the land of, you know, Babylon, and which today is Iraq, and the river to the north is the Tigris, the river to the south is the Euphrates, and in between was a fertile, rich land that produced lots of food, and so civilization grew up there. So this is the river Tigris. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl. And his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I looked up beryl, and it said in the dictionary, chrysolite, C-H-R-Y-S-O-L-I-T-E, and it's a greenish-gray gemstone. Never heard of it, but...
Chrysolite,
yeah.
What about
Ufes? I don't know what that is. And then it says, his eyes lamps of fire, and the NIV says, eyes like flashing torches, and a voice or roar of a multitude. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw no vision, or not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So Daniel saw this vision of this man. Now, before it was Gabriel. We don't know who this one is. He's unnamed. Could have been Gabriel again, but it doesn't say, so we don't know. Some spiritual being or a vision of a man. Daniel saw it, but there were others with him. They did not see it, but whatever happened, it caused the others to be terrified and run and hide. So whatever it was, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, when Saul was going to the road to Damascus and the bright light shined and Jesus Christ spoke to him and there were people with him and they didn't see the light and they didn't hear the voice. They just heard a noise, but they didn't know what was going on. So here's the same thing. Daniel sees the vision. He hears it. But the other guys, they just get terrified and hide. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. And what this really means is Daniel was alone. He turned pale or ashen, and he had no strength. He was helpless. Did you ever get scared and you just have no strength to move? Or you have that dream where you're trying to run away from something and you're in mud and you can't get anywhere? That's what I think of when I read this. Verse 9. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. He heard the voice and fell into a deep sleep with his face to the ground. Yeah. He just kind of went out. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So a hand, or presumably the hand of the man who was described, doesn't really tell us. But he sets him on his hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. This is the second time he says, a man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Yeah, so God really wants Daniel to understand what's going to go on and what's happening. And he's, at this point, a very old man. He's probably in his 90s. So, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So this is kind of similar to what Gabriel told him before when he was praying. You know, the first thing, you know, he says, fear not. Fear not. And then from the first day you set your mind and your heart and humbled yourself, he said, I was sent. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten, meaning humble thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So God was listening, and he wanted Daniel to understand. He wanted him to know. He wanted to teach him. So, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Okay, remember back in the beginning where it says that he, when he understood the vision, he was in mourning 3 full weeks? Well, that's 21 days. So Daniel had this vision or received this vision, and it so shook him up that he was in great mourning and sadness for 3 weeks. And so this man, this angel says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And that's a terrible translation. Let's see. Let's go back. Verse 13, he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Well, obviously, it wasn't King Cyrus of Persia that withstood an angel, right? So it had to be referring to somebody else. And if we were to go to Jude, the book of Jude, right before Revelation, and verse 9, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So here we have Michael again, and he is fighting against the devil. And then in Revelation chapter 12, again, and verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, back in Daniel, we would have to think that when he talks about the king of Persia here, who he fought against, it would have to be Satan or the devil. But Michael came, see, so we have this one angel that God sent to speak to Daniel, and he's going, but he's held up for 21 days by the devil. And so Michael is sent to help him. I should have written down the translation of this, but what it really means here is, and he, Michael, stayed there with the kings of Persia. He fought against as the other angel went away. So, verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. It says in the NIV. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. And your people would be who? Israel, right? It's Israel. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb, or speechless. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Hmm. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with my Lord, this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. So he said, you know, I'm desperate here. I have no strength. I feel helpless. How can I talk to you? I'm your servant. I don't have the strength. I can't even breathe. This is so overwhelming. Well, pretty crazy. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. I don't know if there was more than one guy here. It seems like there might have been. But so, 18, he strengthened me. Verse 19, and said, O man greatly beloved. The third time he is called greatly beloved. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Second time he says, fear not. Peace be unto thee, and be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So the messenger angel, whoever he was going to return to fight, you know, the prince of Persia again. And he said, but shortly will come the prince, the prince of Grecia. Now, remember back in the beginning when he interpreted the first dreams, and he talked about the different kingdoms, and one of them was the Empire of Greece under Alexander the Great. So the only thing I can think of here is he's saying, you know, Alexander the Great is going to come soon and defeat the Persians. And then verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So he says, I'm going to reveal you the truth that's written in scripture, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. It's kind of interesting he calls him your prince, your angel, because he's a defender of God's people. So that's where we're going to end up. That's as far as I want to go tonight. I wish I had more information on what these all mean. But it is what it is. But, you know, the greatness of what we see here is the quality and the greatness of the life of Daniel. How for years and years and years he remained faithful. We saw that he had a very strong life of prayer. We saw that he was willing to do whatever it took to stand on God's word when he was called upon to do. But there are years and years that are not recorded where we don't know anything about his life. And yet he was always there, always working, doing what he was supposed to do. And then when God was ready to reveal, he was there ready to receive. It wasn't, and it's not like he did a lot of miracles he certainly saw some great things. He saw, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survive the fire. He survived the lion's den. He saw God give him revelation concerning dreams and gave him visions. But, you know, these are over a period of 70 years. And yet he was there and he was always faithful and true. And God said, what? Three times, thou art greatly beloved. When he prayed, Gabriel said, before you even started praying, God already said yes and gave you the answer. And then when he was looking at the vision again, when he humbled himself, the messenger angel there said, you know, as soon as you started praying, I was sent. You know, how much did God care for him? You know, and we're children of God, so how much does God care for us? It's kind of great to think about. So that's where we're going to end. Father God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for blessing us. Thank you for watching over us and taking care of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.